This is 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13 from the NIV. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
That's great. We are going for round two. That was awesome. So cool to see all of you here, and all you kids, it's great to have you guys back. Do you guys remember what my name is? John. Very, very good. Yes, my name is Pastor John. I'm the pastor of student ministries here at Pacific Community Church. That means I oversee our grades 5 through 12, and if you are here visiting with us, a special welcome to you. It's great to have you here. Now, this week at VBS, my role was a station leader, which means that I stayed in one spot, and each of the crews would come through and spend some time with us. I was our station was the Bible stories, so we would talk about things from the Bible and how it relates to our lives, and it was great. I had some great actors that would act out the story, and it was lots of fun. Now, if you are new to us, this is your first time at our church, or this is your first time at church in general, this is kind of a regular setup for us, but a little bit different on stage. Oftentimes, we'll sing songs about God, about who he is and what he did. We'll read from what we believe to be God's word, which is the Bible, and we also pray, and then someone will come up like this and share about the Bible and share about how it relates to our lives and how that changes us. And then we share communion, we share sort of a meal together, and then we break from this time, and actually today we're going to have pastries at the end, which is going to be really great. And this morning, in this sharing time, I'd like to give you guys an idea of what we talked about this week with the kids. I have some objects on stage that we use as sort of object lessons. But before we get into that, I want to sort of build a framework of what we're going to look at. And so first of all, I mean, some of the big questions of life are, where did we come from and why are we here? Now here we believe that we came from God, that we are created by God, and that we are created out of love, that God created us out of love. Now, why are we here? That we are created by God, okay, but why are we here? What is our purpose? I would say that our purpose is to be in relationship with God. Now, in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it says that we were created in the image of God. And to image something is to reflect it. And so if we are reflecting God, if we're reflecting him in and through our relationship, that is where we find the fullest life we can, the most meaning possible. Now, there's a problem, though, is that we don't always reflect God. We aren't in a perfect relationship with him. And the problem is sin. Now, when I say the word sin, maybe this conjures up some different ideas in your head. I think one of the most common ones is wrongdoings or wrong actions. And though that is, it is one part of it, it is so much bigger. You see, this sin problem, one person, his name was Martin Luther, he was around the 1500s, he said this, that sin is humanity curved in on itself. And when you look at it that way, it's so much more than just the doing of wrong things. It's also the bad motives that we have for doing good things as well. Because if we are created to reflect God, to image him, anything that we do that is not doing that, that is curved in towards us for our own glory, for our own worth, though that would be sin as well. And because God created the world, he created all of us, anything that we do that is against his creation, any sin, is an offense against God. And so because of our bad actions, because of the bad motives for good actions, all of these offenses against God is building up a debt against us. And that debt is what has separated us from a relationship with God. And so if you can see how bad our situation, how bad this sin problem is, it runs so deep, it has infiltrated every aspect of who we are. We need something, we need someone to pay the debt that is separating us from God. We need somebody who's going to not just live for their own glory, not live doing bad things, but live a perfect life, have a perfect record. And so because, you know, one of our human mantras is nobody's perfect, God had to become man in Jesus Christ in order to pay that debt. And you see, God loves us. God loves his creation. He loves each and every one of us, and he loves us so much that he's willing to do whatever it takes to get us back to relationship with him, and that is why he sent his son Jesus onto the earth. Now, having said all of that, that would be our base, our foundation. And now I would like the kids' help, all of you guys. When you guys were at our station, we had all these objects, if you remember. And we're going to walk through these different days. And I hope at the end, you'll see where the connections are made between what we talked about with the kids and then also what is here for you adults as well. So on the first day, we talked about God's love being giving. And kids, you can just yell out when I say this. This is a picture of my... Yes, and I got this picture from my sister. And my sister gave this picture to me because she? Bye. Yeah, she does. So I got this picture from my sister, and when I look at it, I remember that my sister loves me because she gave this to me, and it is a reminder. And in the same way, we know that God's love is giving, that God is a giving and loving God because he sent his son Jesus into the world. Now on the second day, we talked about God's love is kind, and this is a... This is a golf club, and I like to play golf with my friend. Yes, and I find that when Dustin and I hang out a lot, when we spend a lot of time together, I become American. Yes, I become American. That's sometimes illustrations take an interesting turn when you're in with kids. So what I found is that when I spend time with my friend Dustin, who is American, by the way, is that I will start to say things the way that he says them, and I get made fun of by some people. Some people make fun of me for that. But so when I spend time with Dustin, I find that some of the things that he says, I start to say. Some of the ways that he says things, I start to say things that way. And that it is the same in a relationship with Jesus, that his kindness, his patience, they start to become ours. Because when you are in relationship, the things that Jesus does, they just start to rub off on you. Not that you are working harder to be a kinder person, but rather that in a relationship with Jesus, there's nothing you can do but become more kind through his strength. Now on the third day, we talked about how God's love is for everyone. And this is a bottle of?
Water.
And this is a bottle of?
Water.
This is a bottle of?
Water.
Bottle of?
Very
good. And now, if you are super, super thirsty, if you are incredibly thirsty, you should drink
water.
Why should you not drink Coke?
Because that makes you more thirsty.
Yes, exactly. Because of the caffeine and the sugar in Coke. This is for free, parents. Just so you let you know, I just gave this one out to you guys. So, but it did nothing. They all still wanted the Coke. So, anyways. But the way this relates to us is that we talked about a story where Jesus encountered this woman at a well, and he told this woman, you keep coming back to this same well, but you need something different. You've been coming and looking for your fulfillment. You've been looking for meaning and your purpose in all of the wrong areas, and it's not satisfying you. You're thirsty and you're drinking Coke. What you really need is living water. Jesus says, you need life with God. You need life with me. That is really what is going to satisfy you. Everything else is just going to make you more thirsty in life. And that's what we talked about on the third day. Now, on the fourth day, we talked about this, and this is a clock. And what's unique about this clock? It's broken, yes. And the story behind this broken clock is this was hanging in the youth room, and people were playing, as people often do in our youth room, and somebody knocked a ball, and it hit this clock, and it fell to its ultimate demise, and it was broken. And so that person that broke the clock, they were very remorseful. They felt sorry for what they had done. They came to me, and they said, oh, John, I'm terribly sorry. Please forgive me. And I said, absolutely, I forgive you. And we talked about how God's love is forgiving. But one thing about forgiveness is forgiveness doesn't cost nothing. Forgiveness always costs something, yes, because when this clock was broken, we had two options. One was go without a timekeeping device in that room, which could have happened, but we would have had to sacrifice not having a clock there. Or I had to go out and sacrifice $13.99 to the Staples God in order to replace this clock. And so that's what I did, is I replaced this clock. And we talked about how God's love is forgiving, but that forgiveness doesn't cost nothing. Forgiveness always costs something. And that is why God sent his son Jesus in order to pay the price for our forgiveness. And on the last day, we talked about this. This is a flashlight, and it shines light. And we talked about how God's love is real. And then I shined this in front of the kids and told them to grab the light. And they all tried to grab it, but nobody could grab the light. And part of what that was saying that even though you cannot grab this, even though it's not a physical thing, God's love is real in the same way that this light is real. And what's unique about a light is if you walk into a dark room with a flashlight and you shine this around, you're going to get a different perspective on the room than you had before. And on that day, we talked about Jesus' death and his resurrection. You see, because Jesus did ministry on this earth for 3 years, and in those 3 years, he did a number of miracles, and he taught, and he preached, and there were a ton of people who really, really liked him, a ton of people who loved him and followed him, but there were a number of people who didn't like Jesus, who didn't follow Jesus, and these were the religious leaders. And these religious leaders were telling people how to connect to God, and their way of saying you should connect to God this way was through rules and regulations and rituals that you had to do. You have to do these things, and that's how you're going to connect with God. And Jesus said, that's not how it is. God wants your heart. God wants your heart first, and everything else is going to follow suit. And this was so controversial for the religious leaders that they ended up secretly arresting Jesus late at night. They brought him to a trial. They tortured him, and they crucified him. They killed Jesus. And Jesus allowed himself to be taken in this way. He allowed himself to die because the price of our forgiveness is a perfect sacrifice, and that's what Jesus was paying. And so Jesus died on that cross, and they put him in a tomb. They rolled a rock in front of it and put guards in front of it that nobody could get to. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead. He defeated death and sin, and he offers us salvation from the wrong things that we've done, from the bad motives for doing good things, from the sin that has infected our lives. Now, I hope that you're beginning to see where this connects to us. You see, each one of us has this debt of sin that needs to be paid. And Jesus, God loved us so much that he would send Jesus into the world and live a perfect life and die the death that we should have died in order to save us from this. And because the debt has been paid, we need only pick up the tab. You see, we need only to accept Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf in order to come into relationship with God. Now, maybe you're sitting there thinking, this is great. I'm glad that you have found meaning and purpose in your life, in this, in faith in God, but that's just not me. I'm okay. And my challenge to you would be this, is that we are all designed to reflect something. We are all designed to find our purpose and our meaning and our identity in something. And nothing is going to satisfy you as a relationship with God. Whether you put in that spot, whatever you put in that spot is not going to satisfy you. Whether it be your job, your career, your spouse, your kids, your money, your possessions, whatever it is not going to love you the way God does. It's not going to pay you back the way God does. It is not going to die for you the way that Jesus dies for you. You see, we need this. That debt is too high. We cannot pay this on our own. So I would ask you, where are you at? What are you truly living for? I can tell you that Jesus is what you're really looking for. He is the living water. That anything else in your life is going to be like drinking Coke. It is not going to satisfy you. And so with all of that, if you are sitting here and this is tugging on your heartstrings, I believe that that is the Spirit that is prompting you, that is saying, this is real. This is true. And if that's you this morning, do not leave here without asking questions. Don't leave here and just say, oh, that was a nice service. Ask good questions. Come up to me. Come find me up at the front. I would love to talk to you. And if this is tugging on your heartstrings just enough that you say, yes, I want this. I believe that I have this sin problem. I believe that I need forgiveness for this debt that is just racking up in my life. And you want to make that relationship solid. You want to make that relationship happen. Then you can pray along with me right now. I'm going to pray a prayer that is just starting a relationship with Jesus. And then after that, we'll transition to this table and I'll talk about what that is about. So if that's you this morning and you want to pray with me, then let's bow our heads and pray together. Dear God, I admit that I have a sin problem and it has infiltrated every aspect of my life. And I believe that you sent your son Jesus to pay the cost of the forgiveness that I need. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and that I want to accept his sacrifice on my behalf. And I ask, Lord God, that you would send your Spirit here, that I would experience your love in a brand new way and that I would become more like your son Jesus every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning, I encourage you, please come and talk to me or Pastor Jim, Pastor Jen. We would love to talk to you. And if you have any questions, please come up and talk to us too, or send me an email. I'd love to chat.